on the Golf Club Network, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
And good morning. Welcome. You're in the clubhouse. It's June 2nd, 2012. We've got the beginning of hurricane season going on here. This is for the Pacific. It started a bit earlier for the Atlantic. So far, things are looking good. But of course, you want to be prepared for anything that might happen. Even though they expect it to be a below normal hurricane creating season. I think the last time we had one, it was one of those below normal seasons as well. In the clubhouse, joining us this morning, Stina Sternberg, Golf Digest senior editor. She's at the ShopRite LPGA Classic. Dave Shedlowski, he'll be joining us from the Memorial. He's Golf Digest senior writer, Golf World contributor, author. Phil Long, the vice president of Access One Golf, be coming in to tell us why his putter is the best putter. And Dave Andrews, the author of Pops and Sunshine, he's also at ShopRite, and he's got some good news about what's going to happen with his book, something he's been pursuing for quite some time. Ryan Ballingy was going to join us, Golf Channel senior writer. He's at the Memorial. He's been called to duty. He'll be following Tiger, and I'm sure he'll have a lot to tell us about. Tiger had a really good round yesterday. He's actually had two good rounds, but really showed it yesterday. But first, let's listen to the people who make this show possible, our sponsors.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Alakai Mechanical, the best minds in plumbing, air conditioning, and sheet metal. When you need a new roof, flashing, gutters, downspouts, AC ducts, or a commercial kitchen and custom stainless steel counters, it's Alakai Mechanical. Also brought to you by Poipu Bay Golf Course, combining the beauty of nature and the design of Robert Trent Jones Jr. Bordered by emerald green mountains, 30 acres of tropical plants, and ancient places of worship. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. And by Star Protection, for property threat and risk assessment, protection for your home or business or special event. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California.
We've got a wind advisory for the summit of Haleakala, and it's been windy. I'm not going to complain, because if the south winds start to blow or they completely die out and we've got variables over the summer, we'll be wishing for these windy conditions. Partly sunny skies, breezy, scattered showers, windward and Mauka, isolated showers on the leeward side. That means we'll probably have a very hot day. Ko'olina, trade winds 15 to 25 miles an hour. They'll feel stronger, of course, as that wind comes down through the valleys. Let's go straight to our guest now. And Stina Sternberg, a Golf Digest senior editor, she joined Golf for Women in 2000, a former teaching pro and professional club fitter. In 2004, she became the host of 2 Days in Paradise. That was a regular travel segment. And before going into the publishing industry in 1999, she was owner and head pro at the Great Golf Pro Shop and Indoor Teaching Center, where she conducted 600 lessons a year. I love this part. She began playing at the age of 7, first entered the golf industry at the age of 14 when she began repairing golf clubs in pro shops as a part-time job. Welcome to the show, Stina Sternberg.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to be here.
Excellent. I mean, your bio is fascinating. Did you? I understand.
I'm a nerd. What can I say?
Oh, we're both nerds. Watching the spelling bee with rapt attention. Yeah, it was wonderful. It was wonderful. But you started, who taught you to repair clubs?
Well, actually, it was my dad's golf store. I grew up in Sweden, as you said, and my father had a couple of golf stores. My dad and my brother were both pros. My brother still is. And it was sort of, they wouldn't let me work in the shop at that young age, but they would let me work in the repair shop upstairs, and that's when I started and sort of got very into the whole. We were doing a lot of whipping wooden club heads and or ferrules on wooden clubs, and a lot of grip repairs and shaft exchanges and things like that were big back in those days. So that's where I got my start, and that's where my equipment geek side was born, so to speak. And that's still a big part of what I do at Golf Digest today, is covering equipment. I'm one of the 4 hot list judges for Golf Digest. I do all of the women's equipment, and now I'm involved in a lot of the men's stuff as well. So It's followed me for many, many years, basically.
That's great. I mean, I think you have the best beginning for, I think children should follow your lead.
I'm not so sure about that.
No, but it's fabulous. I mean, you get to know the workings of the tools that you'll be using to play the game.
Yeah, sure. And it's one of those things, though, that you really do have to be sort of nerdy to find interesting. And in order to be an equipment writer, you really have to have that deep interest in the topic, because it could be really boring if you don't.
Absolutely. So, I totally understand. But at the same time, children love to be hands-on, the crafting of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's what it's very true for golfers in general. If everybody who played the game knew what really goes into the creation of a golf club and a golf ball, they would look at their equipment very differently, and they would actually care more about what equipment they're using. It's a fascinating industry and a fascinating science, especially in this day and age.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's way now. That's when I think of in the beginning of golf, I don't think of as being quite as nerdy as it's become with the physics that's involved.
Yeah, it's crazy with what they can do with customization these days and adjustability now that that's allowed according to the rules. Just, you know, the sky's the limit, it seems like, for as long as you stay within the rules, of course, but what the manufacturers are coming up with on the adjustability side, especially if you go out today and buy any golf club off the rack in a golf store, you're just an idiot. I mean, that's just the blunt but true way of putting it, because there's so much customization and adjustability available to you that sort of comes with the prize of the club, that if you don't get fitted for the equipment that you're buying today, you're just leaving strokes on the table. I mean, there's so much that can be done that you just need to go through before you walk home with that club. And I really hope that people are catching on to that. It seems like most golfers are. It's sort of fitting and customization and adjustability. That's the titanium of, you know, this decade. It's not like we've discovered a new material for clubs, but we have opened up an entirely new avenue and a new door for golfers to really get a lot more help out of their equipment just from this fitting.
And make the game fun.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's really truly it. And anytime I do a lot of things with women's golf groups and appearances and meet with organizations like the EWGA and things like that, and I go to these places where I know that these ladies have spent a lot of money to be there for a few days and to play golf, and these are women who play a ton of golf, and it's not just exclusive to women. There are a lot of guys like that are like this too, but you see that they've got the $200 golf bag and the $300 pair of golf shoes and the nice outfits, and you know that they play 3-4 rounds a week. So they're obviously spending a lot of money on the sport, and then you look inside the bag and you realize that that's the last place they ever spent any kind of money. Some women especially still play with their husband's 15-year-old hand-me-down clubs with steel shafts, and sometimes you even see persimmon woods in there. And it's really frightening, because the purpose of playing golf is to have fun, right? And
one
to get better,
yes.
And to improve. And it is so much more fun when you do hit the ball well. And I hear this from women a lot. They say that I'm not good enough to get fitted, or I'm not good enough to get new clubs. And that is such a backwards way of thinking about it. I mean, Tiger Woods could play well with a set of hockey sticks. But you or we, the average players, are the ones who can really benefit from playing with the right equipment and from having stuff fitted to us. And with the launch monitors that are used in fitting today, you can really, truly dial in. I mean, the clubs can, you can walk out with something that's going to give you an extra 30 yards off the tee, even if you are little Mrs. Smith who only, you know, shoots in the 90s.
Yeah.
You can actually see that huge of a difference just by getting the correct specs in your driver.
So when you walk into a pro shop and they seem a little lackluster in their desire to assist you, you really need to put your foot down and say, I want this club fitted for me.
Exactly. And the thing is, you know, it's been, especially for women, an intimidating atmosphere, the golf store, for forever. But if there's one thing that's changed a lot and that has actually become a positive or positive to look at out of this recession that we've been in for the last few years, it's that even that has changed. Even women now get a lot better service in golf stores because our dollars are just as good as the guys. And we have to sort of get over, we have to lose a chip on our shoulder, and we have to get over the stigma and the fear of how we're going to be treated in the pro shop. And if we're not treated well and we're not offered the same things that the guys are offered as far as fitting and demos and stuff like that, then we have to, as you say, we have to put our foot down and we have to ask for it.
Yeah.
And if this guy on the floor that you're talking to isn't willing to give it to you, then you go to his manager. And if that manager isn't willing to give you what you need, then you leave and you take your money to another store. I mean, it's really truly that simple. As much as we can, you know, be angry with the industry and chastise the industry for not treating us well enough, it's really also very much up to us to start demanding it and start asking for it and start using the power of our dollar as far as this goes. And we have to stop being the shrinking violet who, you know, only does what we're told in the golf store.
Stina Sternberg, Golf Digest senior editor, is at ShopRite, and we're going to take a break, take care of our sponsors, come back, because, of course, they make this show possible, and we'll talk about ShopRite and the women at the top of the leaderboard, Stacey Lewis, Mika Miyazato, and what is up with Anna Nordqvist. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Danielle Tucker, when we return to the Golf Club.
Star Protection Agency has been providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Guards on foot, bike, and patrol cars for your business, buildings, or retail. Whether it's a store or an entire shopping center, Star Protection provides the security you need. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection is peace of mind.
Your AC runs year-round in Hawaii. Whether you're in office, store, building, or shopping center, your AC on the fritz can ruin your day and stop your business. Alakai Mechanical does it all, from AC sales to maintaining your AC, so it runs better and lasts longer. Alakai world-class professionals are using only the best parts to keep you cool. Protect your investment. From window system to cooling towers across Hawaii, call Alakai Mechanical. Keeping you cool.
Waipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Waipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Waipu Bay.
Oh, man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh, man, can't be too happy about that one. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Let's do some equipment giveaway. How about some beautiful tailor-made Penta golf balls for the ninth caller? All you got to be is the ninth caller, and you win them. 808-296-5467. 808-296-5467. That's the number to call. I follow Stina Sternberg on Twitter, and it's Sternberg. I love your name, by the way, Stina. It reminds me of the Star Mountains. It's really quite, it's a beautiful name. And I think that's how it's translated. Are you there?
That is what it means in Swedish, although I always hated my name growing up because Stina is sort of like a, I don't know how to put this nicely, but it's like a really old lady's name in Sweden. It was
really?
Me and everybody else's grandmother who had that name. So.
Kind of like Gertrude?
Kind of, yeah. That's a good example.
Yeah, okay. You're at ShopRite. This is an exciting leaderboard with Stacey Lewis.
Yeah.
Mika Miyazato. Now, it was interesting what she said yesterday. I thought it went straight to the point she made about what the LPGA can do to make these events that they play more exciting. She said she loves playing to a crowd, and shooting 65 was fabulous. And I think the LPGA or someone said, then you just need to shoot 65 some more.
Right. It's just that simple. You know, it's fine. There's something going on with the LPGA website right now, or their mobile site at least, where they're saying that everybody's finished for the day. So I'm not sure exactly how far she has gotten so far today. I don't know how many holes into the round she is, but I will say this, that this is the kind of venue that the players love. And part of it is that it's got a great history. This area down here by Atlantic City, on the water, everybody comes out for this event. It's the crowds are great. It's a very, very pedestrian-friendly golf course. You feel like you're literally on the fairway with these players. I actually don't know really how the players handle it because they're so close. You know, it's kind of, it's almost too intimate in a way. But for us, the spectators, it's fantastic. And so when somebody's playing well and having a great round, I'm sure that they're feeling it tenfold in a place like this, where the spectators are so close to the play than they do at another venue. And as I mentioned yesterday in that article that you and I talked about, it's also the shortest venue on the LPGA Tour. So when the weather is benign, which doesn't happen very often, and it's been very windy here since it started, so the scores are actually very good considering that. But when it is benign here, this is the kind of place where you could see really, really low scores. And that's fun. You know, that's fun for the spectators. It's fun for the players. And it's not like it's an easy course, even when the wind isn't blowing, but it really is a place where the players get to showcase their ability to create some amazing shot making. Like, even though, yes, it's a short course, it's tight, and it's got a lot of funny bounces, and the greens are small, so you still have to have a lot of skill. But it's the kind of place where they really, truly get to showcase that skill. A lot of times these players, in my opinion, play courses that are too long. So they're hitting fairway woods and hybrids into a lot of holes, not par fives. I mean, it's there's not a lot of courses on this LPGA schedule where a lot of the players get to go for two on a par five. And we need to see more of that. You know, I really think that the LPGA needs more venues that are set up like this, where we get to really see what these girls can do and see some great scores.
So instead of them trying to hit very, very long shots?
Yeah, exactly.
So they can actually create interesting shots and get to the hole,
right,
and then sink the putt.
Right.
Yes. It also would probably speed up the pace of play just a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's obviously another issue on this tour, just like on the men's tour. But it's one of those things where we're so used to seeing these girls hitting long irons, hybrids, and fairway woods into par fours. And that's not, you know, that's not as exciting as watching what they can do with their short irons and wedges. And again, this tour is looking for PR and headlines and buzz and stars, you know. And if you want to create stars, you got to give them the opportunity to, you know, pull off star-making performances. And that's hard to do when you're hitting five wood into par fours or a four hybrid into every other par four. It's not as easy, because then you really have to be a good putter.
Yeah, I can just hear the guys going, well, yeah, they're playing short courses. That's where they're shooting 63s.
But they're not, you know, that's the thing. Proportionately speaking, they're playing longer courses than the PGA Tour players are, if you look at their driving averages. And that's where everybody just needs to lose the chip on the shoulder, lose the inferiority complex. I don't think these girls should be out here to try to prove that they can hit the ball as far as the guys can. That's just, it's just biology, anatomy. We're not built that way. Even the best players in the world, except for, you know, the top five. I mean, you got a few girls out here that average over 280 yards off the tee. But they're an anomaly. The average for the whole tour is 252-something yards. And considering that, they shouldn't be playing courses that are much longer than 6,200 yards. This course this week is playing 6,155. I think that's perfect. Of course, with the wind as strong as it has been this week, they're still not getting to really... they're still hitting some long clubs into certain holes, depending on what direction they're playing. But, you know, my point is that if we want more star-making performances, if we want more 59s out here, which is one great way to bring more PR to the LPGA Tour, then let's set it up in a way that allows them, that gives them a chance. Because they have the skill. It's just that if you're always hitting long clubs into greens, it's going to be much tougher to put up good score.
Well, we know it from the men's tour that we don't like watching them struggle. I mean, a certain amount of struggle is fine at the U.S. Open, but it's
right.
much more fun watching them succeed because we get to go out every week and struggle ourselves.
Exactly. Who needs to see that, right?
I want to see them be spectacular. So it's spectacular. It sells tickets and it gets people in front of the tube to watch it on television. It just makes sense. I wanted to ask you how, you know, after seeing on Golf World, the cover, Morgan Pressel and Azahara Munoz, this whole thing about being penalized for slow play, when Morgan really wasn't the slow player, it was Atha who was actually the slow player, but it was Morgan who took the penalty. How are they getting along now? They're good friends, are they still?
Well, they both said, I haven't seen them interact at all this week, so I don't know, and neither of them have played well enough to make it into the media center after their round, so we haven't had a chance to ask them any questions, but Azza is playing really well today, played okay yesterday. I would assume that we might see her later, so that'll be the first question I ask her for sure. I think that what happened at the side base was really unfortunate, but from what I could tell, I think both players got over it faster than the rest of us did.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very dividing issue. I've had big arguments in my office with people, my colleagues, who disagree with my position on it. We all have different positions on it. I do think that it was a very harsh way to make a point. I think that's really what the LPGA rules official was trying to do. I think he was trying to make a point. Yes, the group was lagging behind, but it was a semifinal in the only match play event on the LPGA Tour. And it wasn't like they were holding anybody up, except perhaps the TV schedule, which obviously rules a lot of these things. But the way these rules are executed, first of all, I think they should be the same on the PGA Tour and the LPGA Tour. They're not. They're different in pretty substantial ways. And I think that when you look at the fact that Morgan Pressel, if she hadn't parred that par 3 where she got the penalty, if she had bogeyed it instead and halved the hole with Munoz, then she wouldn't have been assessed a slow play penalty because they would have divvied up the time it took her to hit those four shots but by four rather than by three. And, I mean, that right there just tells you what a silly rule this is. I'm no expert. I can't tell you exactly what would be the best way to execute a slow play penalty, but that is not the way to do it, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think you should measure it over the length of a couple of holes, and I think you should look at the circumstances. Morgan, on that hole, even though she knew that she was on the clock, the wind picked up when she was on the tee. She went back to her bag, talked to her caddy before hitting her tee shot, switched clubs. I mean, are you expecting a professional player in the semifinal of one of the biggest events on tour to just go ahead and hit with a club that's in her hand even though the wind changes because she knows she's on the clock? I mean, that's just ridiculous. So I think you need to take those kind of things into consideration. They should have restarted the clock after she picked her new club. Things like that. I mean, there's some subjectivity involved here. And I think what happened, that she went from winning the hole to instead losing it and then ending up completely losing, the wheels falling off her game and losing the whole match, that was incredibly unfair.
I think I agree with you. I think the slow play issue should be dealt with in stroke play. I don't think it should be dealt with in match play, not in a semifinal and a final. I just thought that was very strange at that point.
Well, if you're going to do it, then you better be consistent. That's also my point.
I understand.
They were much slower on Thursday that week, and nobody got any kind of penalty.
Okay, yes, absolutely. Stina Sternberg, great to meet you. I hope you'll be on the show again.
Thanks. Same here.
Okay, good. Okay, we'll be back right after this. We're going to be talking with Dave Shedlowski. Did you have arguments with Dave?
Me? No, actually, he's never in our office. He's always on the road.
He is always on the road. Okay. Aloha. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
And we'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club. So I was sitting in my office, feeling the heat of the day through my window, even with the AC blasting, when my architect walked in. And I asked, what do you recommend?
Well, we had Pacific Room Glass Tinting do the building next door.
He said they reduced the room temperature by 10 degrees. The hospital saved 16% on their electric bill. My recommendation, Pacific Room Glass Tinting. Commercial buildings, residential, or hotels, your premier authorized 3M film dealer. For a free estimate, call 263-9885. Pacific Rim Glass Tinting.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Waipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Waipu Bay. Call us for your tea time, where great golf is played every day at Waipu Bay. Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
Yes, it is a beautiful day. It's going to be a little bit windy. We'll have some rain. No thunderstorms are in the forecast. They may be, though, at the memorial, and because it's been a very interesting couple of days at Memorial. Dave Shedlowski, the Golf World magazine contributor, also author and editor. His books include Golden Twilight, with a foreword by Arnold Palmer. I think you can pretty much Golden Bear, Golden Twilight. Obsessed with Golf. I need to get this one. Obsessed with Golf, Test Your Knowledge on and Off the Links. It was written with Alex Maselli. And in 2005, the PGA Tour Official Fan Guide. Welcome to the show, Dave.
Well, good morning there, good afternoon, and thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. This has been very strange. I think you're freezing from what I hear today. Yesterday it was wet, and the day before it was windblown. It's like playing in I don't know, England, Scotland.
Well, it's been, three kinds of weather and three kinds of days. It was just, it's frankly been beautiful here for over a month, and then just a perfect day on Thursday. Yesterday, cold, windy, rainy. I mean, it was in the high 40s when play was finally done yesterday. Of course, they had to play all day with the rain delays and so forth. And today it's actually quite nice. It's going to get up in the near 70, windy though, and sunny, and the course is drying out. Scores are tough to come by here.
All right, let's kind of set the stage here. We've got huge marquee groups going out, right? I mean, we've got the Bubba Watson, Phil Mickelson before we withdrew, and we'll have to talk about that, and that's going to kind of come up with this cell phone issue. We've got these marquee groupings, and people allowed to walk around with their cell phones, and I've heard some interesting stories, like one guy's standing pretty much right next to the guys who are playing professionally. You know, they are the ones that the star, and he's having a discussion with his daughter about where they're going to go for dinner. on his cell phone. Very strange.
That's probably the one of the more mild incidents. The tour instituted this last year around the 1st of March. I think it was the Honda Classic last year when they first started allowing cell phones, because they felt like they needed to allow people to keep in touch with their family or their office or whatever. They wanted to promote a little more attendance, and I think they're getting that. I think the numbers bear that out this year, that the people are embracing, I want to go to the golf course, I can take my phone, this is great. But what it's morphing into is, well, my phone is not just a phone. It's also a camera and a video camera and all that, which are fine on the non-tournament days, but they're not satisfied in maybe just having access to their phone. They want to use it to take pictures of Ricky Fowler or Phil Mickelson or Tiger Woods or Bubba Watson. Putting those players, the marquee players, at a distinct disadvantage because there's cameras going off all the time with these guys, and it's a problem that's getting worse and worse as the weeks go by.
I understand 50 phones, 50, were confiscated yesterday?
That was just in the one group. That was in Tiger's group. I'm not sure overall how many were, but that is exactly what needed to happen, because I don't think a single phone was confiscated after the first round. But, you know, let's be clear. This isn't a Memorial Tournament problem. This is a PGA Tour problem. I knew they had problems at Dallas because Phil played there and had some trouble. Even around the 18th green, for crying out loud, you think of the most visible place at a tournament, the 18th hole with the clubhouse there, you know, all the, you know, the various things that go on with, you know, hospitality and so forth, that people would maybe try and hide their phones. And here, in Dallas, I mean, people just take pictures with impunity with their phones, and something needs to be done. And the way to start fixing it is to start taking phones away.
So what you're saying is, you would have thought at the 18th green, with considering there are certain rules that you're supposed to follow when you do have your cell phone with you. In other words, you're supposed to go to a area where the cell phone can be used, and you're not
right.
Supposed to use it to take pictures.
Well, there's a, you know, you're talking about violating the rights holders here, whether it's Golf Channel or CBS or you know, whatever other media is there, as well as the fact that you're intruding on the, you know, on the play itself, and perhaps impacting it in an adverse way.
Right.
So it was never intended, this rule was never intended to allow people to all of a sudden just use their phones as they wish, willy-nilly, for anything they want, to get their own little personal memories and so forth. Look, when Thursday comes around, if you need to access your phone, you step away from the golf course and you text who you need to, or make a quick call or whatever. That's what it was intended for. It was not intended for people to be taking pictures of their favorite players on every hole.
Got it. So. Now, Bubba Watson was with Phil Mickelson, and was it Ricky Fowler in that group as well?
Correct.
And Bubba afterwards blamed, because when Phil Mickelson said he withdrew from mental fatigue, did you buy that, or do you think he's so politically correct? I mean, Phil could be a politician if he wanted to be. Do you think there was more to it than mental fatigue from a vacation and playing a lot?
I mean, if I were guessing, I would say yes, but I'm not supposed to guess. I can only read between the lines like you and figure that he may have had a level of frustration because of the fatigue, that in another situation, if he were perhaps feeling better, the situation with the cameras or whatever, maybe, you know, wouldn't have bothered him.
Yeah,
I think the fact that he was fatigued, I really believe that he's telling the truth there, but maybe he just wasn't able to handle things as well, concentrate as well, with all that's going on, as opposed to in other venues and other situations.
I completely agree with you there. I think if he'd been feeling stronger, he may have been able to do the Phil smile, the hi, and let it go. But and then Bubba just came right out and said he really doesn't like them. Do you think they should be banned again? Do you think that's even possible?
No, that's one of those cards, you know, the horse has left the barn kind of thing. You know, attendance is better because the tour has allowed people to access their phones on the golf course. I mean, the only place you can get away with banning cell phones is at the Masters, because the Masters, let's face it, nobody is going to sacrifice access to the Masters tournament for, you know, because they can't get to their phone. I mean, this Masters is just a naturally separate thing. It's so special, and everybody wants to be there. At a regular PGA Tour event, they are getting more people at these events, and it's because people don't feel like they're cut off for 4, 5, 6, 8 hours from their phones. It's part of, you know, who they are and what they do, how they conduct business, how they keep in touch with friends and family and so forth. And it's just part of our lives now and so forth. But let's face it, the tour has to find a way, and I think that obviously confiscate phones is the way to do it. Look, if the threat of losing your phone for the day is out there, then I think you probably use it with a little more discretion than if you just say, well, I can do what I want with it. Nobody's going to do anything. I'm going to record this, take this photo, and talk as long as I want right by the ropes. I don't care who's hitting the shot. So, no, I think the tour is right in doing what they did. They just need a better enforcement mechanism.
It must be interesting for the Europeans and the Asian players when they come over, because I understand that it's much more chaotic in those venues where people are absolutely, you know, that's probably why Bubba Watson was uncomfortable in Europe, because people were so oblivious to, you know, this is a professional player. He wants quiet and we should all be very reverent and stop.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're totally irreverent and they don't care and they do whatever they want, you know, and he's like, wait a second. This is not what I expected. We also didn't expect Rory McIlroy to miss three cuts in a row.
Well, no, I don't think he did either, obviously.
You were following him yesterday, right?
Yes.
And what was your impression?
Well, my impression is that I think he's not really all there mentally. I think, you know, it was a situation where he's kind of taken his eye off the ball, as he said himself, and he's, you know, now trying to find his game after maybe just, you know, letting it go a touch as far as the concentration on it and practice and so forth. His body and his arms are out of sync. He doesn't know how to stop doing it. He's fallen into some very bad habits. Shocking for a player of his caliber, but it happens. And I think he's just kind of in one of those funks they would get into from time to time.
Oh, let's just get down to it. It's that girlfriend.
Well, you know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But I think he has to find that happy medium between, you know, following Carolyn Wozniak's career and wanting to be with her, and also trying to be the best golfer in the world, which he clearly is when he's playing close to his best. He doesn't even play his best. He just plays close to his best golf. Well, he's probably the best player in the world. He's just not even playing close to that, and it's just it's shocking. But I think he'll be just fine. Give him another couple weeks. Let's see what happens. Right now, he's in a bad place.
Someone said that it looked like, you know, he's, and this threw me, because I do consider Rory McIlroy a professional player, a very high caliber, number one in the world, he may be. But they said that he's still learning, and making questionable decisions. And I thought, wow, you know, that's true. He's only, what, 23?
Yes.
And we expect him to know everything that a mature golfer would have experienced and known. Like, when he went in the rough to try to come out of the rough, he had ricocheted and went in the water. He even said that he made some bad decisions. Can you tell us more about that?
I think that just speaks to the fact that, you know, he's not all there mentally. He's not thinking clearly. His strategy is not as good as it could be. So when you're not thinking clearly, you're costing yourself shots, and that's how you make high numbers. It's, you know, you couple that with he's not making good golf swings, and, you know, what do you have to fall back on if you're not thinking clearly and you're not swinging well? You know, sometimes you can not swing well, but if you're, you know, your mental approach is good and your strategy and you manage your game, then, that's something else. And then you can kind of get by. He's just not there at all. And yeah, he's making some really dumb mistakes.
No, tell me again what you think is wrong with his swing. His arms and his body is not, they're not in rhythm.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying, is I think his lower body is way out ahead of his arms are lagging behind. He's just, it looks like he's, you know, he's getting stuck in that Tiger, you know, way that, you know, shots are going right, they're missing left, they're going all over the place. You just see that there's no timing to it, that natural, beautiful rhythm that he has, and it's causing unpredictability and where he's going to miss. You can play if you know where you're going to miss. Even Jack Nicklaus made sure that he didn't miss left. If he knew he wasn't going to miss left, he could eliminate one side of the golf course. Strategy becomes rather easy. So that's what that's what Rory's lacking right now. He's got to miss it both ways.
You've explained it better than anyone so far that I've listened to. Thank you very much for that.
You bet.
Yeah. Now, speaking of Tiger, look at Tiger. I think he's tied for... Well, he's at the top of the leaderboard with Rory Sabatini, who says Tiger's so beatable. You know, Rory Sabatini is never going to live that down.
I don't think he is, and it's going to be interesting. You know, I think one of the fascinating, you know, sort of storylines this week is, you know, Tiger maybe getting his game back again, and we'll start talking about is he back, is he not back, you know, so on and so forth. Uh-huh. But, you know, he does play certain golf courses very well, and, of course, Arnold Palmer Invitational, where he won earlier this year, you know, is one of them, and Muirfield Village, which is Jack's term, is another. So when a legend is involved, I guess, then, you know, then he's, you know, he can sort of raise his game. I don't know why that is. But it's he's had 72 PGA Tour wins. If he should win this week, he'd have 73. And that, coincidentally, would tie Jack Nicklaus for second on the all-time list. So he would tie Jack at Jack's tournament. And they're kind of fascinating the way that works out.
Yeah, there's also the mental thing about it, right? What he wants to accomplish in his career, beating Jack's major number and now beating him as all-time wins. That kind of gives him that mental to go and get it. But he's also seeming to be a lot more creative. He seems to be playing golf more than thinking golf. Some of the stances he took yesterday to get out of the rough, for instance, that was a very interesting pose where he kind of went down. It was almost like he was doing what is that called when you... I can't remember the phrase for it. It's squats. That's it. He was doing a squat in the rough. That doesn't sound good at all. But he just seems to be more comfortable with his game.
At the moment, I would say that's
yes!
true. But
yes!
whether there's consistency there, that's what he's been lacking. He's been lacking that for a long time. And you just can't say that one or two rounds or whatever are going to show that he has a full grasp of things.
Okay.
I'm not sold on it. We'll see if he follows up and say wins or finishes high this week and then gives it a go at the U.S. Open, then maybe I'll be sold a little more and so forth. So,
oh, yeah, I think all of us are just standing back and going, let's see what happens. Maybe if I don't watch, he'll do great. It's when I'm watching, he falls apart, and then I feel awful. Right now, it looks like the leaderboard is Tiger Woods, Rory Sabatini, and Scott Stallings. Isn't Scott playing with Tiger?
He is. That's a big round for him. So we'll see. Scott's been injured for most of the year, bad rib, and has really played very poorly. Best finish was at Kapalua, I believe, this year. So we'll see how Scott reacts to playing in, you know, Tiger's Den, and of course that is getting tougher by the minute, and with the, you know, all the Tiger fans out there.
Yeah. Who are you following today?
I'm going to actually do some writing today, so I'm going to be staying more in here and doing some things and following in more of the press room way and getting some interviews, talking about the U.S. Open with some folks as they come in from the golf course. So I have a little bit of an excuse. I had a little crack in my fibula. It's making it tough to walk, but I can get around. I have walked a little bit, but we're going to give it a rush today.
You know, I'm curious what rule infraction will be the talk of Monday. Haven't you noticed that... it seems like every week we have something strange happen with the rules. Somebody does something like forget to replace their ball marker or go out of turn when they're going to tee off. Not necessarily a rule infraction, but I suppose it's etiquette, right?
Something strange is, yeah, there's been a lot of little strange things that happen, and it's kind of weird the way that works out, but I think maybe the cell phone thing this week is enough for us right now. We'll see, you know.
Okay.
hopefully that'll be enough.
Well, I hope you get over to the clubhouse. I understand that the milkshakes are the talk of the place. Whether it's, are you a vanilla or a chocolate person?
No, you know, they have these great things, these Buckeyes that we have here in central Ohio, which is from a Buckeye tree, and then there's a confection basically form of that, which is chocolate peanut butter, sort of a Reese's cup kind of thing, but not, it looks like a Buckeye. But they also have a Buckeye shake, which is a peanut butter chocolate shake. That is the shake that people should try if they want to try it. But you know, you gotta be somebody special. Those are reserved for the grill, and you know, it's so you gotta know some people to get in there. So.
I see. Okay. Well,
I've been I've been here for 20, this is what, my first memorial was 1986. I've had enough milkshakes in my day.
Okay. I was going to make a phone call and say, you know, Dave Shalosky, he's a very important person. He's an author. Give him a milkshake. Dave Shalosky, Obsessed with Golf, one of his books, Test Your Knowledge on and Off the Links, and Golden Twilight, with a foreword by Arnold Palmer. A real pleasure talking with you, sir.
Very good. Thanks for having me. Have a great weekend.
You too. Aloha. And we'll be back right after this. We're going to talk Access One. They're putters that aren't supposed to twist on you. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Poipu Bay on Kauai South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property guard and patrol services. Loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom-and-pop store. If you want your job done on time, on budget, done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical across the way. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal, that's Alakai Mechanical.
It's the Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor links. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Welcome back. Congratulations, Greg Fujita of IAEA. He won our tailor-made Penta Pearls. That was so much fun. Let's do it again. What do you say? Let's get the ninth caller again, and you can win tailor-made Penta Pearls. All you have to be is the ninth caller, and the number is 808-296-5467. That's 808-296-5467. You'd like to play around a golf maybe at Volcano. There's a 10.06. Makalei has a 9.16. There's an 8.40, a little bit late for an 8.40, but you can get there. It's an hour away. Or a 9.50 at Poipu, where the IHS group is going out to play. And check this out. At Royal Hawaiian, there's an 11 o'clock and a 12 o'clock and a 12.30. That used to be the Luana Hills Country Club. Now it's the Royal Hawaiian Country Club, where, you know, you got to put together a club of people who just, it's your own little club. You don't have to, you know, incorporate. Just go and have fun. These people are playing the Divot Diggers. They're going out today. I know I belong in that group. And the Builders. So we've got the Builders and the Divot Diggers. May you all hit the sweet spot every time. All right, let's learn about Access One putters. The vice president of Access One and Back Nine USA, where we can get a head cover, a very cool head cover. I saw one. There was a photo taken of it. I think it was from the Patriot golf tournament. Very nicely done. Phil Long, welcome to the show. We're having just a little bit of difficulty with Phil's line. Phil, are you there? No. Okay, we're going to, let's see, do we need to have Phil call back in, possibly? Would that be a good idea? Chaz? We're going to try one more time? Okay, in the meantime, of course, we're having some phone issues. Don't you love live radio? It just always happens like this. By the way, on Monday, on June 4th,